Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Mike Armstrong podcast show. And this afternoon, or probably late morning in Canada, we're joined by Roman Mironov, who's based in Toronto, Canada. And how are you doing today, Roman? You okay?
Hi, Mike. I'm so excited, and thanks for having me.
No problem at all. Thanks for giving up some time to come and join me and have a chat with me and find out a little bit about each other. So thanks for that. So a place I usually like to start with is if you can tell us just a little bit about yourself, who you are, what you do, and, you know, all of that, really.
All right. Yeah, I am a life coach working from Toronto, Canada. And I've had my training with Robbins Medina's training, which is an official program of Tony Robbins. So I sort of follow in his tracks. And my goal is to help my clients create beautiful relationships and a happier lifestyle in general.
Okay, good. So I know Tony Robbins, I guess the course, Tony Robbins deals with life coaching, business coaching, and motivation as well. Is it just the life coaching part of it, or do you incorporate a bit of, you know, a bit of the motivation and a bit of the business coaching as well?
Of course. You know, motivation is a huge part for most people. So I need to give that to them because, like, just pushing them, that holding them accountable, this is a really, really key component of coaching. You know, some clients sometimes tell me that it really is the accountability part that's the most important. Let's say with addictions, when I help people break from addictions.
Yeah. It's easier to get away with things when nobody's watching, but when somebody's watching, it's a lot harder.
So, yes, exactly.
Yeah, I'm a motivator myself. I've been a sales manager, sales director for most of my life. So it's part of the job, if you like. You have to, it's a role you have to do. But I've never really myself ever needed motivated because I've always been chasing a big goal or a big dream or an ambition, and that keeps you motivated. But for those that do need motivation, you know, how do you like to work with them? What areas do you like to work with them, et cetera? You know, how do you do your motivation?
You know, like the two main things are, first of all, knowing their motivation. So writing down what actually motivates them. Like, let's say they want to, like, if a person wants to spend more time with kids, like, one of the motivations they have about this is to actually, you know, be a role model for their kids and be that presence in their lives so that they can exude positive influence on them and make them grow into, like, these beautiful adults, right? Mm-hmm. And the second component is actually writing down all the successes down the road that, like, they had before coaching and after coaching. And just, you know, reminding my client about these successes, because oftentimes they get stuck and they get stuck in negative thinking. They think, oh no, like, or defeatist thinking. And then I'll just come in and I remind them about something great that they had achieved in the past, and they just feel motivated.
Yeah. I think if you write down daily or regularly all of the things that you've done and just keep reminding yourself and re-advertising your ability to yourself all of the time, then you can really build your confidence and your belief up to be able to do great things continually by remembering the great things you've done in the past and reminding yourself, because people forget all the great things they've done. People forget all the great information and knowledge that they've built up and they've learned and all that experience that they've built up over a lifetime, often of work or doing multiple things, right? You know.
Yes. Our mind just tends to focus on the negative, and then it forgets about all the positive things that we achieved in the past. And that's why it's so important to override that negativity with something positive.
Yeah, I believe in lots of short, medium, and long-term goals, but especially the short ones. Lots of people put long-term goals in place, and then they forget about the daily activities, the daily routines, the daily goals that they need to do in order to get the big ones. And actually the daily ones become sort of like fuel for the bigger ones anyway, because the more you achieve, the more you believe that you can achieve. It's just sort of like a snowball effect. So
yeah,
helps you to achieve the big ones by getting the little ones done regularly.
Yeah, it's a virtuous circle.
Yeah, definitely. So I'm big into the personal development space. I haven't listened to a lot of Tony Robbins, who's obviously the course you went on, but I've listened to a fair bit of Jim Rohn on YouTube. So if you like, I've learned some of that stuff. I also listened to his son, Jarek Robbins, a few times as well. I quite like listening to Jarek. From a motivational point of view, I probably listen to a bit more like Les Brown and people like that. And then I'm much more into sort of like sales and marketing and content. So I listen to a lot of like, Brian Tracy, Gary Vee, and Grant Cardone, people like that, you know. But I think it's always good to find someone who resonates with you. And then, you know, if you can learn great things and then reapply that or teach it to others, I think it's a good thing to do.
Yeah. And by the way, what's your favorite motivational piece, like a video or a speech, something that's so inspiring to you?
I quite like the really impactful speeches with maybe a bit of motivational music in the background and that sort of thing, building up the tempo, that type of stuff I quite like. I think one of the best ones was Denzel Washington. There's a really good motivational Denzel Washington speech on YouTube. But I like a lot of Les Brown speeches on YouTube as well. I like a lot of the emotion of Les Brown and his vulnerability. And I also like quite a lot of his quotes as well.
Yes, good. What's the name of the Denzel Washington speech?
I don't know. If you just type in Denzel Washington motivational video on YouTube, you'll find it. But it's a really good one. But like I say, I only really listen to a bit of motivational stuff. Now, usually when I'm trawling other stuff, when it pops up and I might listen to it, because I don't mind it. I just don't, not something I need that much motivation, because like I say, I'm a big fan of Dr. John DeMartini as well. And Dr. John DeMartini teaches you that if you're doing something every day that's in line with your true value system, then you actually wouldn't need motivating, because, you know, you're being motivated internally by that. And I think I've always been a bit along those lines. If like, I think we all get knocked down now and then, and we all need a bit of picking up or a bit of motivation. Some people just, like I've managed salespeople, some people are just in dramas all of the time and they need focusing and then they need motivating and they need, you know, picking up. And some people just, again, I'm pretty accountable for what I do. I've always been a manager, so I manage myself as well as other people. But other people need a manager or an accountability person or something. So again, it's horses for courses. But yeah, you know, so I don't listen to a lot of motivational stuff. I provide quite a bit. I've got on my podcast, I do a daily motivation or a morning motivation most days, where I motivate people myself, because I started my podcast in the lockdown, the start of the pandemic. And it was designed to start with as a positivity motivational podcast to help people with mental health issues during the lockdown, because I could see that there was going to be some issues coming as soon as the lockdown started. So that's when I started my podcast. But I've ended up, because I've got a lot of knowledge and information that I like to share on sales and marketing and network and personal development, I've sort of added that all to my podcast as well. But it actually started off as motivational. So, you know, it's bang on topic in that term. So, yeah. That's a little bit about me and my podcast. But how did you find the Tony Robbins course? As in, not how did you find it searching or whatever, but, you know, being on it and what you learned and all of that. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, first of all, it focuses mostly on relationships, and it really, really is. It really sells the idea of unconditional love, and I firmly believe in that, so it resonated with me so well. And then it also like pinpoints the exact things that Tony does to influence people, to help them make changes in their life, like his humor. And I realized, yeah, this works so well, like humor. It actually works very well. Like, let's say a pattern interrupt, or just to build this like great atmosphere with a client in a coaching session where they feel with humor, they feel more relaxed. They feel more open to, you know, to share things with you.
Yeah, definitely. I've been a big relationships person myself all my life. And if you can have a laugh and a joke with somebody, that's always a good start to any sort of relationship, whether that be, you know, if you have a look at most women when they're trying to attract a partner, it's always a good sense of humor, you know. And no one says they've got a bad sense of humor. What they mean is a sense of humor that matches theirs.
Yes. Yeah. And that said, what's your best tip for developing a sense of humor?
For me, it's about just being authentic, it's about being genuine. It's just about, you know, not taking yourself too serious, being humble, you know, taking the mick out of yourself, if you like. You know, just finding things funny, you know, being silly sometimes, being playful, you know, appealing to your younger self, if you like. I watch a lot of comedy anyway, but I like all types of comedy. I like slapstick and stupid comedy. I like jokes, and I like observational humor, you know, making fun out of situations and up in the pressure point, if you like, of, you know, laughing at something that maybe makes us feel uncomfortable. And, you know, there's humor in all aspects of life, and most people do like to laugh. And in fact, you know, I've been at funerals when I've laughed, you know what I mean? sometimes you need something different than the vibe to break the vibe and to bring, you know, the atmosphere around, etc. Yeah, you know, I think I find lots of things funny. I watch a lot of humor, and I think the more you find things funny, also I think a lot of people as well, some people don't get things because maybe their intellect isn't intelligent enough to get the misdemeanor or the grand meaning or the double entendre, or, you know, there's a lot of things like that. I'm quite switched on as well, so I get a lot of humor because I get most people's take on humor or sense of humor or even the quick jokes. Like, I'm quick as well thinking. But this like in comedy crowds, for example, you'll get someone will say a joke and half the room will laugh and half of them have missed it. Yeah. It's just good to just be humble and to be, don't take yourself too serious. Don't take life too serious. You know, yes, take it serious as in, you know, get done what you want to get done, but enjoy yourself along the way. You only got one life. No point achieving everything you want to achieve in life, but I've had a miserable time doing it all.
Right. Yeah. That's a good one. We need to like to train ourselves to look at the fun things, at the fun side of the things in life, because it really is always a fun side to almost everything. Yes.
Exactly. Yeah, there is. If you choose, I'm optimistic, not pessimistic. I choose to find and look for the good in everything. And if you look for the good in everything is really searching for it, you will find it. It is there. You just got to find it. You know, even in the darkest of times, good comes out of it. Good, you know, even if it just means it's made you tougher. You know, I've been through some bad times. I come out of it stronger and tougher, you know, able to deal with more bad times. So, you know, at the end of the day, the bad times can be good times for shaping you.
Right. Are you into stoicism?
Stoicism, that's being like straight-faced and not being that emotional, isn't it, stoicism?
Yeah, and actually like putting yourself through discomfort on purpose so that you become stronger.
I'm into challenging myself and pushing myself. So like, for example, if I go for a run or I go for a bike ride, my inner demon is telling me, don't go up that hill or that way, you know. And you have choices in life. Your inner demon sometimes tells you, go the soft route. And sometimes when you're feeling weak, you do go the soft route. But most of the time, I mentally push myself the tough route. Yeah, it's like the same as I don't try and take elevators. I go up and down the stairs. I don't go for the easiest, quickest option. I go for the longest, hardest option because I know I'll come out of it the better and stronger for it the other side.
Yes, exactly. I also do my best not to take stairs unless I'm going to like a very, very high floor.
Yeah. If it's like, you know, I took an elevator to the top of the Eiffel Tower, you know, if I was going to the Empire State Building or something, I'd probably take the elevator there. But actually, just a few flights or whatever, you know, I'm somebody anyway. I used to play a lot of sport when I was a kid, and obviously being an entrepreneur, that's probably my bigger passion than sport and fitness. But I do like to keep fit and keep trim. So you know, I look for the opportunity and everything. If you've got a, you know, if your car breaks down and you've got to run somewhere, then you just think, oh well, it's a bit of an exercise session. Like, you know, if you've got to go for a lot, you know, say your car breaks down, you've got to catch public transport, you've got to walk to the train station. I just see that, rather than thinking of the inconvenience of having to walk to the train station, I just see that as, well, I'm going to go and do a gym or go and do any exercise today. You know, I've been given an exercise routine as part of whatever challenge that was given to me. Like, you know, so if you choose to find the plus in it, like I said, you can always find the plus in everything.
Yes, exactly. And now that you, like, you tell me about the Eiffel Tower or the Empire State Building, I just remember how I was in Vatican in Rome, and, you know, to go all the way up through the St. Paul's Cathedral in Vatican, you have to take a very, very old stairs, and it's so difficult to walk it up because it's really, really, really long stairs, but it's worth it. It's like, yeah, it's difficult, but this is a great metaphor for realizing that even though exercise is difficult, pushing yourself is difficult, the end result is so great. It's like with that, you know, going up that stairs in Vatican, because I went up there. It was a beautiful view. I enjoyed it so much.
Yeah. One of the best things I ever had is when I had a personal trainer for a while. I used to love it when he really beasted me and got me, when I was like an hour and a half of full on, you know, high energy, much, much further energy than you would do yourself, although I'm pretty hard on myself, but just pushing you to those limits. And then, like, an hour and a half in, you know, you literally have nothing else to give, and you have to go lie in the garden, you know, just on the floor, just, you know, with everything spinning around and stuff, because you put that much into it. And I used to love that. So I think I've really done some good there, like, you know.
Yeah, beyond
your limits.
Yeah, like you're so tired that your spleen is coming through your left eye.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, just the you lie down on the floor and just the sky's spinning around so much because you just, you know, you're just out of it, really. But yeah, I like to do those sort of things from time to time because I think it's good, you know, I think it's good to build in a strength. I work on building my own mental strength. Just did a 75-day challenge during the second lockdown, really, in the UK, which was, it's called #75Hard. It's like a 5 challenge in 1 challenge, like, you know, a mental toughness challenge. You have to do 2 forms of exercise a day for 45 minutes, 1 in, 1 out. Drink a gallon of water a day. You have to read 10 pages from an educational book every day. You have to be on a diet, and you had to have no alcohol. So it was like, you know, that's the sort of, I wouldn't do any one of those things on their own, yeah, mm-hmm. as a challenge, because it wouldn't challenge me. But the 5 of them together was like, okay, yeah, that's a good challenge. I'll have a go at that. So, yeah, I think...
Interesting.
I think it's good to push yourself, you know, beyond, you know, your capability. Like, I've really come to life since the start of lockdown. I've always been in sales, and sales is always working towards a target. And so I like the pressure of, as you're getting closer to that target, the pressure that's building up. Like, you know, that's really kicks me into action. And so, like, something like a lockdown or a pandemic, you know, it sort of has pushed a lot of humans into action. And a lot of those people are really doing well because of it. There are some on the other side as well who have, you know, who are doing not so well. And, you know, we all need to help those people through the situation. But there's loads of people who have really stepped up their game during this time.
Right. And actually, one of those types of people who need help are people who are struggling with relationships, because many people find themselves locked down at homes and they spend too much time together.
I divorced my wife not long after I went self-employed, after being a corporate sales director. So I went from being not in the house that often, you know, a few hours a night, if you like, and then sleep, and then out all day to being there all the time. And I suppose we both had strong personalities, and it probably didn't help our situation at the time, the fact that we had this big flip, if you like, of not seeing each other as much, just seeing each other all of the time. And, you know, we were arguing over lots of different things, including, like, you know, like, I'm supposed to be working at home, but she's trying to get me to do errands. Because I'm there, and I'm like, well, I might be here physically, but I'm not really, because I'm doing something else. It's, you know, it's those sort of challenges as well. But relationships are a big challenge. So, you know, I haven't had those issues during lockdown. And if you listen to the people who struggled during lockdown, either because they're in a relationship that's maybe not working, they're seeing too much, or it's because they got young kids, really, and they're pulling their hair out because they're trying to run a business or do a job and look after the kids and educate them. They're generally the people, and obviously people who have mental health issues and don't like change, and, you know, can't, you know, any emotional time, or people who can't have hugs. But there's no sort of remits as well. But yeah, they're generally the ones struggling. I think everyone else, you know, a lot of entrepreneurs that were the people I speak to day in, day out, are really enjoying it, like, you know, enjoying the challenge and enjoying the change and the flexibility and the adaptability that they're having to show during this time.
Right.
Yeah. So yes. So what type of clients do you tend to work with, and what sort of problems do you tend to help them with? I guess there's a big range in this, but honing in on some of the typical ones. Tell us about those.
Yeah, one big category for me is actual male clients who want to break their addiction to porn and masturbation.
Okay. I imagine that's probably gone up a lot during the lockdown, pardon the pun.
Yes, exactly. People realize that they are actually wasting too much time on it, and they are wasting their potential. It prevents them from realizing it. And I work with clients from a whole age range, let's say from 30 to 60.
Yeah. Well, what I find with addictions, I don't know if you found this, I've actually helped somebody who was addicted to drugs get off drugs and get back into the working world after living on the streets. I took them off the streets and took them in. And what I find with people with addictions, and actually most mental health issues as well, is most of them are too busy focusing on the now or more so the past. And getting that rolling around in their head. And what I did to help a friend of mine who called me out of the blue one time and just said, listen, I need to get off the streets or I'm going to be dead. You know, can you help? And I took him through a course of, you know, obviously weaning him off stuff first and limiting everything down, reducing small incremental steps, because you can't do anything in big chunks. Small incremental steps, but then I found, which I've done myself in my life at times when I've been a bit flat or plateaued, to start, you know, really implementing that small, medium and long-term goal setting, and really getting into just getting used to achieving and hitting targets, hitting goals on a daily consistent basis. And all of a sudden people start thinking about the future more so than the present, or worse, the past. And once you start being busy and creating massive action and putting it in the direction of somewhere you want to go, then all of a sudden, whatever issues people seem to have, they seem to disappear when you're so focused on that forward trajectory. Yeah. So that's what I find works. Is that sort of a lot of the stuff that you work with people on as well?
Yeah, absolutely. It's what you're talking about is the law of attraction. We want to focus on the positive thing, because this is what we're going to think about and this is what we're going to work on. And as long as we focus on the positive, the law of attraction will actually bring it into our life. But if we focus on what we don't want or something that we fear, the law of attraction will give that more of that fear and the actual thing that we fear to us.
Yeah. And I follow Grant Cardone, who was addicted to drugs, and now he's addicted to business, if you like. So he's used his negative addiction into a positive addiction. And a lot of people have the ability to be addicted. I don't know whether a lot of people would probably say I'm a workaholic, but I'm a Libra. I'm pretty balanced. So I work hard and I play hard. So, you know, I notice the signs of me when I'm struggling. And I think, right, I'm going to go and have a blowout or have a week off or whatever it may be. You need to deal with that situation. That's what I said to you before. I'm used to managing myself, and I think it's important to do that, and a lot of people can't do that. So a lot of people might think I was a workaholic. I wouldn't probably say I was, although I love working, so, but I'm probably not addicted to work, you know? I just do it because I love it. But I think some people who have got addictive personalities, if they swap the negative addiction for a positive addiction in some way, you know, that hobby they've always wanted to do, you know, to play the piano, you know, play the guitar, you know, become a drummer, get fit, you know, build connections, go networking, build a business, whatever it may be, if they put that addiction, negative addiction, into a positive one, then they can really use it as a good tool for life rather than a negative one.
Yeah. And just let me acknowledge you for, you know, being that workaholic, because I think that this is good. Many people think that workaholism is bad, but I think that this is, in many ways, that's a positive habit. I mean, it's not perfect, but it's positive because you actually like your work, whereas many people hate it. So yeah. I think that's a blessing. And anyway, what's your, like, being a workaholic, what's your best tip to actually avoid workaholism or find a better balance of work and life?
Well, the way I see it is a lot of people are always trying to find a balance for life, a work-life balance, whereas I would call it a life balance, not a work-life balance. And to me, I don't see it as work and life. I see it as you should find work that is part of your life. Yeah. And then therefore you haven't got to balance it out. So the reason why I can work all the hours under the sun is because I enjoy what I do. So but I see some of it like what a lot of people would. In fact, a lot of my work is what a lot of people do when they come home from work. Yeah. So a lot of my work, like I'm on social media all day, every day, communicating and connecting. I like speaking to people. I like meeting people. I get to know about them. I do podcasts all time, all hours of the day and night, because I get people from all around the world on my podcast. Yeah. I don't see that as work. Other people would go, well, you're working all the time. I see that as connecting, socializing. Yeah, it's the things that people look to do when they're out of work. So if you can do for work what you enjoy doing when you're not working, then it doesn't become work, it becomes life. So I just see it as just living. Yeah. And that, I think most people who, you know, there are people who, you know, commentate on football and they love football and they're like, you know, they would pay to be there doing what they're doing, but they're getting paid to do it, you know, and they're like, they can't call that work. You know what I mean? They're doing what they're doing what hundreds of people would be wanting to do anyway. You know, it's the same professional sports people. Most of them love what they do. Some of them hate it, you know, because they got into it because they were good at it, not because they loved it, but most of them love it. So it's like in football, soccer, in the Premier League, you know, people are like, you know, you got to manage the players and rest them and all. The players just want to play because they love playing football. That's what they like doing. You know what I mean? So you know, I'm much more, I'm like that. I'm just like, well, let the players play. If they get injured, they get injured and then they'll have a break for a bit and then they go back to playing. But, you know, as part of playing the football, you know, football is you're going to get some injuries from time to time. It's like, you know, when you're networking and communicating and stuff all of the time, I'm going to get burnout occasionally. I'm going to get to a point where I love what I do, but I do a lot of hours at it. Sometimes you've got to give yourself a break. So then I'll take a break. Just take a break, recover, and then go back to what you're doing. Like, you know, but I very rarely get burnout because burnout comes from a mental burnout a lot of the time. And that's because you're doing stuff, being pushed to do stuff or doing stuff you don't really want to do. Whereas if you're pushing yourself to do those things and you want to do them anyway, then you don't really get the same mental burnout, you know?
Yeah. And what do you think? What's more important, doing what you love or loving what you do?
Well, I think there's a bit of input. I think doing what you love is more important, really, because then that shapes a life that you want to live. Loving what you do, if it's not what you choose to do, I think it's important. If you're in a situation where you have to do something that you don't, is not of your choosing, if you can choose to love it, then that can be important. So again, you know, our brain is powerful. You can choose to be happy or choose to be sad, you know, and you can choose to enjoy something, choose not to. If I was in a situation where I wasn't doing what I wanted to do, I've worked for other people in my life. I chose to make the most out of that situation and enjoy it. So I chose to love what I did. Yeah. Now I've chosen to do what I love. Yeah. And I love that more. because that's shaping the life that I want. But when I had to do things to survive or just to get by, or when I hadn't learned another way and I had to do it the conventional way, I chose to do it the conventional way and love what I was doing at the same time. Don't fight it, join it, enjoy it, learn about it, become better at it. If you keep learning about something and become good at it, then you will enjoy it anyway. So you can choose to enjoy it by being good at it and getting involved and not just grudgingly turning up every Monday morning and going, okay, what am I going to do today? Like, you know?
Yes. Yeah. So when we get good at what we're doing, we actually love it more, right?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, because one, it becomes easier. Once you become good at doing something through repetition and through expertise, you actually go into a more flow state, you know, more naturally, just happens. You know, there are things that we do in life sometimes, we don't even know we're doing them because we're just so used to doing them. And if there's something that's incongruent with our values, then, you know, sometimes it's just, we're in full flow and you don't even notice you're doing it and you're just smashing it out of the park, you know. But even if you're not in full flow, you know, just repetition itself, you know, just means that over time, everything becomes easier. Like, you know, it's like when you're trying to pass your driving test, it can be challenging to try and remember everything and think of everything in that. But I've driven home 3 hours and can't even remember what that was like. You can't even remember the journey because, you know, you're not even focused. You're in a sort of semi-conscious state, really, where you're just doing everything naturally. You're not thinking about it. You're not thinking about indicating. I think about pulling off of this road and that road and checking the signs. You're doing it because you've done it 1,000 times, 10,000 times, and it's just part of what you can do without really focusing on it.
Yes, exactly. We're using the power of our subconscious mind. And that example that you gave is beautiful. So when you take the driving test for the first time, it's so difficult, but then you can't remember how you drove back home.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I teach people social media a lot of the time, and especially like people older than me, you know, business owners, 45 to 65 and that sort of thing. And I say the same thing to them. The people are like, oh, I don't know how to do LinkedIn. I don't know how to do Twitter, Facebook. You know, I don't know how to do this, that and the other. How do I do it? And I'm like, well, the first time you do it, it'll be, you know, all over the place and you don't know where everything is and it'll be complicated. But you do it 2 or 3 times and all of a sudden, you know, the route, you know, the routine, etc. You do it 10, 20, 30, 40 times and you'll always think like, well, what was I worried about? Because it just becomes human nature and just, you know, obvious over time. But, you know, we build things up in our heads sometimes to be a lot worse than they actually are, like, you know? So, yeah, it sounds like we're both, singing from the same hymn sheet, if you like, and, probably into a lot of the same type of stuff. Sometimes, you know, a lot of the basics of life coaching, success, business, they're very similar traditions and values that are being passed down from generation to generation. And sometimes you just have to find a voice that resonates with you. Somebody maybe who's had a similar path or a similar, walk the path that you're looking to walk or something. And that's the person that resonates with you. And, you know, I've listened to loads of great personal development people and most of the stuff goes down to the basics at the end of the day. You know, it's not complicated. Life isn't complicated. I just think human beings try to overcomplicate it a lot of the times. And that's where a lot of the confusion and a lot of the need for motivation and all these things can come into it, because we've overcomplicated what can be a much simpler life if we just, you know, set our mind on just achieving what we want to achieve and not really letting everything else that goes on in life affect us in that choice, like, you know. So that's the life coaches. So I think you brushed upon, you know, some of the people that you deal with. You want to go in a bit more detail as well with some more in that, because I think we went down another alley and then we bring you back and go back onto that. So some of the people you can help, you covered, I think it was the people who have sex addictions, etc. You work with the full remit of addictions? Well, that's more than one addiction.
The main addiction I work with is this PMO, which is porn, masturbation, orgasm.
Yeah, Okay.
So when people watch porn excessively, then masturbate excessively. So let's say for a few hours every day, this is something that helps. When it really becomes an obsession, and they realize that it's so detrimental to their life. Oh. That's when I come in and help.
Do the people who do that, do they have often similar triggers, if you like, that got them to that point? Is there something, you know, is it because, for example, that they're not really good in relationships, or is it because, you know, are there sort of triggers? Is it because they were, you know, neglected when they were young? Are there certain trigger points that cause people to head that path?
Yeah, the trigger is almost the same every time. It happens at the age of 10, let's say from 10 to 12, when the person discovers that they have this button in their body, they can press it and feel that surge of dopamine, that surge of happiness right away, and they get hooked onto it.
Yeah,
that's the main trigger.
So they're like drug addicts then, really. They're just addicted to the natural drug of dopamine rather than the synthetic drugs, you know, similar sort of... addiction and things to drug addicts, really, or chocoholics. I suppose it all comes down to addicted to a drug of some sort in some way, isn't it? Yeah,
exactly.
Shopping's the high of buying something. Drugs is the chemicals you put in your body. Alcohol's the alcohol. You know, sex is the dopamine. Everyone's addicted to something that gives them that high. It's that good feeling for a while. Yeah.
And with porn and masturbation, like the main problem that makes it even more difficult to break is because it actually gets tied to your sexual instinct, which is very, very strong. So with time, by too much masturbation, you train your brain to, you know, associate the pleasure, like the sexual pleasure, not with the actual sex, but with masturbation. And because that sexual instinct is actually pulling you all the time, then it becomes the craving becomes so strong.
Yeah, well, that's one of the biggest pulls to get in, especially men, to do something, is that there's a few different drivers that can drive people to do something, and the sexual one, you know, men have done all sorts of things for the promise of some sexual gratification from their preferred chosen, I was going to say from the opposite sex, but I suppose these days you have to say from their preferred option of the sexual opposition, if you like, you know, whatever the thing they're into is, or the thing or the person or the sexual agenda or whatever, you know, this, you can't just say really that men would do whatever for the opposite sex. They do the same for the same sex sometimes. So, But what that motivation is, it's one of the big motivations that if you can tie that motivation into the sexual motivation into achievement of some sort, it can be something that can really, really push you beyond boundaries you may not be able to push through without that type of motivation on it. But, you know?
Yes, exactly. And that's a huge part of my coaching, because I explain clients that, yeah, if you really want a relationship, if you really want that love and connection in your life, you need to break this habit, because otherwise this habit actually gives you the love and connection that you want, and you don't want them from a woman, so you'll never create a relationship.
Yeah, I was just thinking then the way I would, you're trying to reprogram their brain, really, and you're saying, well, listen, rather than you having this instant gratification, which is, you know, giving you this high, but it's not giving you any long-term sort of benefit in life and success in life. If you actually turn that off, and you could actually apply the same energy into a real relationship, and you can get yourself the same highs, but also lots of other benefits through your life as well, sort of re-educating them and retraining them through that process, I would have thought. Is that the method you use? Or,
yeah, it's a huge part of the method. Yeah, we discuss that. We create awareness, and that awareness alone is curative, because they realize. And most of the time, they actually realize it themselves, because they are in trouble when they reach out to me. They really, you know, like most men masturbate, but most men don't see it as a problem. And those people who reach out to me, they they feel like they're real addicts, and that's why they reach out.
Yeah, well, that's
they
yeah,
already it, realize.
It's generally when that addiction, whatever it is, starts affecting other areas of their life, then they realize, you know, there's a negative consequence of whatever it is that they're doing. And that's the same as like there are people who can drink a lot more than alcoholics, and they don't, it's not a problem. You know, they don't see themselves as an alcoholic, and often they're not, because, you know, it's not negatively impacted their life in any way. They would just see themselves as socially drinking. Whereas there are some people don't drink a lot, but they would see whatever they drink as a problem, because they've been through the knock-on effect of the negative consequences of whatever it is that they do, and they know they can't risk that again, which means, you know, one drop is a problem. Yeah. So yes, it's interesting. I actually, I'm not a life coach. I'm a business coach. But I have thought about going into a little bit of the life coaching realm, because part of managing people, which I've done all my time, you have to be a life coach. You're a life coach. You're a nanny. You're an educator. You're a bit of everything, really, when you manage people, especially in the sales world, because, you know, often salespeople are a bit, I don't know, they're a bit needy, if you like. They're like young children a lot of the time. You know, you have to manage them in all sorts of ways. And so I actually, the start of lockdown, I come up with a happiness formula, which I may well teach to people who need to become happier. So I tell life coaches about it, because if ever you've got any clients who need to become happier, I've got a formula which I can make them happier with. It's like a daily routine, which is guaranteed to make them happy. So would you like me to send you some information on that, or even discuss it now with you, just to tell you quickly, or would you want to send
Yeah, me? I would love that, of course.
So I call it the SMART happiness formula, and it stands for sleep, meditation, ability to perform, random acts of kindness, and targets. And basically anyone who is not as happy as they feel they should be, if they can get at least 7 to 8 hours sleep a night, guaranteed. There are a lot of people who are unhappy, don't sleep well enough, and they don't realize the value of sleep. And then meditation, if you can take half an hour out to unclutter your mind and unclutter your thoughts every day, great. If not, as often as you need it, you know, because I don't meditate every day, but I'm always happy, and I go out and do mindfulness sometimes, which is a form of meditation, or just when I need it, go into meditation. But that's important as well. I always say, you know, the people who really want to pick their happiness up, do at least half hour of meditation or mindfulness per day. And then look after your ability to perform, which is the A in SMART. And that is exercise at least 30 minutes a day, drink plenty of water, and have a healthy, well-balanced nutritional diet, cutting out all of the crap like salt, sugar, coffee, nicotine, alcohol, and white flour. Yeah, so just have a nice, healthy, well-balanced diet, exercise, and have plenty of water. And then that's looking after your ability to perform. Do at least one random act of kindness per day, but I'm about doing as many as I can. Especially during lockdown, the number has accelerated massively. Just help people, basically, randomly. I do a lot of social media marketing, so I'm always liking and resharing and commenting on other people's posts. It's 2 seconds, a great way of making them feel good, you feel good, you know? So that, but also opening the doors for people, carrying some shopping to the car, helping a pushchair, carry up some steps. And there's so many opportunities to help people. And then that releases oxytocin as well. So it's guaranteed to make you feel better. And also people around you observe the random acts of kindness will feel better too. So you're not just impacting you or them, the people you help, but also the people around. And then set lots of targets, lots of small targets daily. Get used to achieving the targets, hitting them, feeling good about hitting them. And you're going to also set some big targets with some big rewards. And then you look forward to the ambition, to the anticipation of achieving the target as well. So then, you know, between all of those things, there's nobody in the world who couldn't do all of those things and wouldn't make themselves feel happier than they are now.
Wow, that's such a holistic strategy. I like it so much. And like from the sleep, because I'm also a big believer in sleep, and I think that people don't treat sleep seriously enough. Yeah. And yeah, to targets, having a very detailed schedule, I would say, that's built on those targets. So that you make sure that you hit them.
Yeah, well, one of my friends is a sleep expert and she's written books on it, etc. And she's got a podcast, which is about sleep and empowering family health and that sort of thing. So I'll hook you up with Joanne after our podcast, and you can go on her podcast and talk about your life coaching as well. And I mentioned the sleep connection, and that's why I referred you to her. And I've been in high pressurized sales environments, high activity sales and marketing all my life. And I've always got a lot of energy, and people can't believe how much I can get done and all of that. And people are like, how have you got so much energy and all of that? But I make sure I get my 7 to 8 hours sleep every night. I always have done. If I only have 5, because I've had a late night. I mean, I'm a night owl more than a morning routine. But every now and then I might be staying up late, getting up late. Then I got to get up early for something. So I might only have 5 hours or something. Then I make sure the next time I give myself longer so I can catch up. Even if I don't catch up the 2 hours, say I catch up another one, I often sleep until I wake up. So if I needed to, I'll sleep for 2. But if I only needed that one extra, I will. But yeah, so it's just about being in with the rhythm of your sleep patterns and just being aware of yourself and being aware of you wouldn't put your battery on your iPhone right the way down, stick it on charge for 10 minutes, expect it to be full up again, and then go and try and use it all day. It doesn't work like that. And so a lot of people try to do that with their body, but ultimately there's no need. It's just get it fully charged up by being, 7, 8 hours, 7.5 or whatever. Some people may need more, some people need less. I always try to sleep without having to use an alarm to wake up. So, I don't sleep exactly 7 hours or 8 hours or 7.5 or whatever. I sleep roughly the amount of time within that period that my body says I need to sleep. Yeah, so that would be, that's always my advice. So if ever you have anyone who needs to be a bit happier, obviously you're helping them with one thing. If you want to use that formula, I'm more than happy to share it. I've written some ebooks and I was going to charge for it, but I think I'm going to offer it for free so I can just make as many people on the planet as happy as possible without charging, because I've also got a success formula as well. And that's the one I'm going to monetize and make money on. And mostly just so I can build up a bit of a fund so I can help other entrepreneurs to become successful, because a lot of success is, the right information and knowledge and the right idea at the right time and all that sort of thing. But a lot of the time in this monetary world or materialistic world, a lot of it is because you need quite a bit of money to get going, and not everyone's always got that. So I want to help people who maybe need some monetary impact to help them grow their business, because sometimes people need a website or a wholesale stockist, or they need something that they need to spend some money on. And that can be a barrier to entry for a lot of entrepreneurs. It looks like we're on similar sort of missions. You're on a mission to solve their problems in their life, and I'm on a mission to solve their problems if they're looking to enter into the entrepreneur world.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
So great. Is there a tip or a quote or something that resonates with you that you like to use to inspire your clients or your customers, the people you're working with?
Yeah, I actually would love to use the story about rabbits. I mean, because it's about unconditional love. So there was a clinical trial and a clinical study. Well, not clinical, but just a study. And the researchers were testing this poison that were giving to 4 groups of rabbits. Basically, that poison led to high blood pressure, and then they died. And so in three groups, the rabbits died as expected. But the fourth one, who received that same poison, it didn't. So they wondered what was happening. And so they went to speak to the technician who was giving the poison to the rabbits. And when they came to him, they realized that this guy was really giving that love, unconditional love to the rabbits before feeding them the poison. So he caressed them. He talked in a very soft voice to them. He like, you know, made it easier for them. And that one thing changed the whole dynamic. But just because of that, that love that the rabbits felt from the technician, they did not die.
Yeah, strong, it's powerful. That's good. So we've covered obviously about what you do and who you are and all that sort of thing. How do people connect with you and get in touch with you if they're interested in maybe finding out a little bit more about you or following you or actually signing up for a course, that sort of thing?
Yeah, the best way to connect with me is to go to my website, which is www.romanmironov.com, spelled as RomanMironov.com. Here you have all my social media links, and you can hit the contact tab and contact me for a free coaching session. And make sure that you mention you're coming off Mike's podcast, and I'll be happy to give you a 30% discount.
There we are. That's good. Helping you guys out more again there, you know, the listeners and the viewers of the YouTube. I'm always looking to help us you guys out wherever I can. And obviously Roman's chipping in there with a great offer. So take him up on it and, you know, see if he can help you solve whatever addictions you've got in your life or whatever issues you need solving. I'm sure Roman's got the skills there to be able to help you through whatever the situation may be. So reach out to Roman and see if he can help. One thing I wanted to talk to you about, Roman, which I thought would be useful for you, just because it's very topical of the time, is have you been on Clubhouse at all, the new social media platform?
No.
Okay. Well, check it out. Have you got an iPhone or Android or something else?
Android,
is it? Okay, well, it's at the moment, it's only available as an app on the iPhone, but it's coming out on Android in March. Keep an eye out for Clubhouse. And basically, it's a place for, it's a bit like Facebook groups, but instead of you having to text and post stuff, you can actually communicate with each other. So you can call people to a stage and chat with them. And you can connect with people all around the world. So it'd be great for you to connect with some people, you know, in that platform, because then you can offer them coaching and help them and do whatever you need to do. This is what I've been doing in there as well. So you can set up your own rooms and you can, you know, invite people onto the stage. And it's all audio, it's not visual. It's been like being on a podcast or whatever. So you can do it whilst you're out walking or whatever you want to, and you can just be on there talking on your phone, but you're actually talking to a room full of people rather than just a one-on-one. So that's really good. So check that out, keep that out. I always like to help people. So that's a recommendation I would say, is to keep an eye on how you can get on that once you've got your Android app. You have to be invited in as well. So it's just about reaching out to the people who are heavily connected, because the early adopters who are on there at the moment, and you know, I myself just gone in there myself. But that would be good. And obviously I'll do an introduction on, I think we were connected on Messenger. So I'll do an introduction on Messenger to Joanne. I run a mastermind, and Joanne's in my mastermind. She runs one too, a different one. And I'll definitely connect you two together, because you can go on her podcast and talk about your life coaching and sleep and whatever else. And I think there's the start of our relationship. But getting people on my podcast, it's always about building a relationship so I can see how I can help them. And obviously, the more we stay connected in each other's lives, the more I might be able to help you in other ways. So feel free to tag me in on any social media, and I'll happily share it. And if you want to do the same with mine, that's up to you. But if I can help your clients with the happiness formula at any time, then just get in touch with me, and I'll happily pass them on the sort of daily routine which they need to become happier.
Right. Thank you so much.
And if you've got anything you want me to, again, if I find anyone, it's not one of the things that I would imagine men would talk about too much and reach out to. But if I happen to know anyone who has the, you know, the what did you call it? SOM, was it? SMO or something?
PMO, porn, masturbation, orgasm.
Yeah, so if anyone has the PMO addiction or just any addictions in general, then I can always send them your way. So it's been fantastic having you on. So thanks very much.
Thank you so much for, you know, connecting me to Joanne and saying all these kind of words and, you know, making all these promises. That's beautiful. I will do my best to, you know, respond in kind.
Brilliant, brilliant. All right, then, thanks a lot and have a great day.
Thank you, Mike. You too.
All the best. Bye-bye.